Apparently, it's all-out war. So news according to me. Yes, hello. It is time for the news, according to me. I have... we have so much to talk about. It is Sunday night. It is Sunday evening, 6:57 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:57 Central Time, where I am. I am in Central Wisconsin. I am in a near Wausau, Wisconsin, Stevens Point area. I am up here in the where it is currently snowing. It's been snowing all day here. In fact, they are having a hard time keeping snow off the streets. And it looks as if I may have a hard time getting out of here in the morning. I was supposed to leave out of here tomorrow morning. I got in here yesterday, and it is. I probably am supposed to leave here tomorrow morning early in the morning, and like a 5 o'clock flight out of here, I think, or something. I don't know, some ridiculous thing, 5:30, whatever it is. And I have to leave for the airport at about 4:30 tomorrow morning. So I'm not sure what's going to happen because the problem they have right now is that they have to have a flight get in this evening in order for a flight to get out tomorrow morning. And there's no flight coming at this point. If they keep doing this, I don't think the flight is going to make it in. In other words, if it keeps snowing like this, first of all, the visibility is so low, I don't think they'll make it in. They can't even dispatch an airplane. I know something about flights. And they can't even dispatch this thing in. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a prestidigitationist. I can't even say it. Prestidigitationist. Look that word up. See what that is. I used to be a prestidigitationist. I was also a petroleum transport engineer. I used to pump gas at a gas station. But that's a whole other thing. I'm not a financial counselor. I have a guy with a bunch of opinions and a cup full of chai. I do have my chai here. It is my homebrew chai. It tastes a little bit burnt. I hate doing it this way, but I put water in one cup in the microwave, heated it up, and then I take that hot water and I pour it into my other cup that has my chai mix with a little bit of creamer in it. It's powdered creamer. It's not exactly real creamer, but it gives it a little creamier taste. And of course, I have my backup cup here, which is the pièce de résistance of the fast food sweet tea world. It's a little bit watered down because I had a bunch of ice in it yesterday. This is yesterday's tea, actually, because it's Sunday, and I've got Chick-fil-A sweet tea here, which means I got it yesterday. So needless to say, it's been a little bit watered down with some of the ice that I had in it. But it still tastes fine. It's just a little watered down, has a little bit of ice in it. So anyway, that's my backup cup. Then I've got a backup cup with just water. I did go over to Culver's earlier today to get some supper, whatever it was, a sandwich. I had early morning breakfast at Denny's. I tried their French toast. It's a banana. It's kind of like a banana Foster. I don't think they call it banana Fosters. It's just a banana thing with some kind of sauce on it. I think it's like a Foster sauce. And it's got cream cheese. There's four big pieces of French toast, and they got cream cheese between two stacks. So there's two piled on top of each other. In between each of those stacks, there's cream cheese in between. And of course, I had to put syrup on that yet. So needless to say, I think I had a little bit of a sugar, a little bit of a high carb load there, I think. Now, keep in mind, I only ate breakfast yesterday. I didn't have anything else to eat all day long. I had a chance to get a meal yesterday, and then I got in late yesterday, and there wasn't anything open here in this particular, desolated area that I'm in. So everything had just closed, and of course everything at the airport had just closed before I came here, at least in the part of the airport that I was in. So couldn't get any food. So I was a little bit stuck with the food situation, so I didn't have anything to eat. So I ended up being very hungry this morning. Of course, those pictures of those, bananas and everything else on that thing looked really good to me. So I ended up having to do an extended workout today. Besides working out on the street where I had to run through the streets because they weren't plowing the sidewalks. So I'm out running around, dodging snow plows and cars and things out around there. I'm thinking about going out this evening, maybe getting some ice cream, but I don't know if that's going to work or not. Got a couple hours to decide on that one. Might have to do a little more exercise before I feel good about that. I did have a pretty extensive workout, though, before I went to eat lunch. I had a reasonable lunch, so I don't know. I may or may not go get a chocolate milkshake at the Culver's over here. That's the closest thing around. It kind of depends on what happens. And I'm drinking this chai, which is calories enough. So I don't know. Anyway, a couple things to talk about today in the news world. It's now this is going to be posted on Monday morning, probably around 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I have I've been kind of keeping an eye on the news here over the weekend. There's a couple things I want to talk about. One is this Harry Sisson thing. Harry Sisson is a college-age kid who is paid by the DNC. He's paid by an organization. This is another one of those organizations that's an NGO that probably gets funded money, and it's they consider it the Soros money, but really now we're finding out more about the USAID stuff. That there's a lot of funding coming from that. That's been a dirty little secret for them for a long time. I want to talk about him, situation he's in. I usually don't pay that much attention to him. I don't give him much airtime here on the show because the demographics of my show typically are not college age. He's more of a college age kid, and the college age. We'll talk more about him in a little bit here, but. I want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about the Tesla issue, stuff that's going on with that, if I get a chance to, if I think about it. The main thing I want to talk about is the civil war that's going on right now in the Democrat Party. They are literally eating their own over there. No, not literally. They're not actually eating their own. Okay, they're just, I guess they're politically literally eating their own. There is a lot of stuff going on. And of course, Trump is... I think he throws things out there just to watch their heads explode. Some of the things, and I'll have some audio this week, hopefully, of Joy Reid, who was fired, with Don Lemon, who was also fired, and. They're apparently forming a coalition now of all the fired people from MSNBC and CNN, and they're all getting together. I'm surprised Chris Cuomo isn't ganging up with them. Now, Chris Cuomo has actually been quite a bit on, I think he's on, was it on news, some kind of news network. It's kind of a little bit more of a leftist progressive news network. It's not really very popular. Nobody, I don't even know what the name of it is. But he's been on there, and he actually, the only thing I don't like is that PBD, the guy who has Valuetainment, Patrick Bet David, he has a show where he has a lot of people on his panel and talk a lot. If I ever see him in a segment, I literally do not click on it. If I know he's going to be on the panel, because the guy has no credibility, in my opinion. He pushed so hard in every direction concerning a lot of things. In CNN, he pushed the Russia hoax. He pushed all kinds of things about Trump. He pushed all kinds of things about COVID. And he claims he had COVID, and he was quarantining in his basement and all that stuff. And then, of course, he was caught running around town, wasn't quarantined at all, and made this big deal about, I'm coming out of the basement. He had this big production of him coming out of the basement, and he's coming out from quarantine. Of course, the family, they were just doing their stuff and they couldn't care less. I mean, because he wasn't just staying down there all the time. He was only down there for the show. This is like people who put their mask on right before they walk out to a podium to speak to a bunch of people, and there's nobody within 20 feet of them, but they have a mask on because that's, they have to have the mask on. And that's just the kind of stupid. You're not within 6 feet of anybody or 10 feet of anybody. You just got to wear that mask because it's a public appearance thing. It's all about the show. It's all about political theater for these people. So, those are the kind of people that I just don't. Apparently, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Hopefully, the main thing I want to talk about though is this whole thing with the Democrats, the radical leftists within the party, and this is where within the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. They, by the way, they have successfully rebranded themselves, because everybody calls them the Democratic Party right now. Everybody says the Democratic Party. Everybody says they're, you know, the Democratic, you know, what this or that or whatever. You know, this person is a part of the Democratic Party. They have successfully rebranded themselves over the past 10 years. I think that everybody just calls them that now. And it snuck up on everybody. I think everybody just does it automatically and doesn't even think about it. But I guarantee you there was probably a meeting within the DNC or whatever it was that they decided, hey, let's continue. Let's try to, whenever we talk about the party, let's talk about it as the Democratic Party because it has a better ring to it. It polls better. It sounds more like we're the ones for democracy. We need to be the Democratic Party because we believe in democracy. We're going to push that. And even though they hate the Constitution, they try to tear it apart. They don't like the First Amendment, Second Amendment. They don't like Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. They don't like any of them. And yet they push it. When it comes to the children, we have to protect the children because of the Constitution. This is a constitutional crisis. We're in a constitutional crisis. They don't care about the Constitution. These people hate America. They hate the Constitution. They hate everything America stands for. They hate the founding. They hate the founding fathers. They think the founding fathers are a bunch of slave owners. It's just on and on and on. And yet, you'd think that they're supposedly the patriotic ones. They're not at all. There's nothing patriotic. And I'm not saying you have to be patriotic. Patriotism, I think, there is that group of patriotism thing that, in my opinion, is almost cult-like. And I don't like that either. But there is a true patriotism, whereas we are for our fellow man. We are for the rights of our individual, the rights of the individual, no matter how marginalized you are. In fact, the more marginalized you are, the more I think America wants to stand up for those who are the underdog in this country, which is what our country all stands for in terms of the founding principles and what it means to be patriotic. Because we stand for being patriotic simply means you stand for the principles of our nation. And the principles are, we believe in individual rights, no matter how small of a, it's not group rights, it's not special rights, which is what groups get. They get special rights. If you're part of a certain community, you get special rights. If you have a certain creed or skin color or whatever it is you have, you get special rights. And that's not what the founders intended at all. Even Martin Luther King Jr., at least in his day, was opposed to that, at least in his speeches. I don't know what he felt like in his personal life or what he thought in his head. I don't know whether he just said things that were politically expedient or if he actually said things that were that he actually believed. I think he had some I think he had some convictions. I don't know. This is all speculation on my part. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. But I didn't know the man personally. So the interesting side of this whole thing is how much there is just this war going on within the Democrat Party right now. And it's apparently look at Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders apparently is not getting along with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is not getting along with anybody, really. There is the establishment Democrats. And apparently, Bernie Sanders, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the powers that be that are really the question is, who is running the Democrat Party? And more importantly, who is defining the Democrat Party right now? Who's deciding what the Democratic Party is going to become? Because they're really having, there's really more than one fraction. I think there's, there's the radical left, the woke left, the side that is all, that just despises America, hates America, hates Israel, hates everything about anything of our founding principles. There is the older traditional Democrats that are out there, hard to find, but they're still out there, who just don't like Republicans. Most of them are just, they don't like Republicans. But they're traditional Democrats, traditional liberals. And they have, you know, they're more of the Robert F. K. Jr., I think, Robert K., whatever, Bobby Kennedy Jr. They're more like that kind of a Democrat, or more of a, you know, who would it be, Manchin-type Democrat. And they're more traditional. They're the kind of person that you could, you know, sometimes Democrats can actually vote for those kinds of people because they actually still believe in constitutional values and Second Amendment, some of those things. But the, so there's that traditional side of the Democrat Party. Now, there's also some other fractions in there, some factions in there that are, in my opinion, kind of have their own demographic in and of themselves. And now, what's surprising is the kids under 20 right now, in fact, all the way up to the age of 22, there is a whole generation that is leaning to the right now. And I don't know, I think that what it is this lack of hope with what's happening on the left and why they don't like to see the progressive, which really surprises me because of the indoctrination they have in public schools. But I think it's part of it is this whole thing on the left, and they see what's happening with the economic consequences of the left's policies. Because most of these kids, in fact, college-age kids right now, are realizing they're not going to come out of college, and they're thinking they're probably never going to own a home. They're just because of the nature of how ridiculous the disparity is in terms of, you know, even with a two-family or a two-income family, it is very difficult for a couple starting out, or an individual starting out, to make enough money. This is happening kind of all over the country right now. There's still some places in Indiana, like I said, it is one of those affordable housing type places. Because of all kinds of issues, there's all kinds of issues here, but it's you know, everything from property taxes, mortgage rates, down payment requirements, all kinds of things. But the housing costs, of course, have gone up, and a lot of people, let alone, you know, being able to afford a car, it's ridiculous the kind of trap that most kids fall into. They get out of high school, they get into college, that they feel like they need to have a car right away, or if they live in the city, sometimes they don't even have a car. Some kids don't ever get a car. They just want to live in the city and not have a car. You don't want to. Public transportation is the way they go, or an Uber. And that's all well and good. There's a certain sense of responsibility you have when you own a car, and certain, you know, things you learn about life when you own a car. However, at the same time, there is also an issue of homeownership, which is really is where stability in a culture kind of resides, in the homeownership of. This is why government many times will give all kinds of incentives to, like, FHA loans, all kinds of things, to help people buy their first home, because that it creates stability, creates a more of a chance for people to own something of their own and develop in that respect. When you don't have that, when you don't have that opportunity, or you can't go there, you kind of lose hope in some things. There's it does something to a person internally. Unfortunately, the price of a new home is so far out of reach that they're not thinking they're ever going to do that. And in the process, they're basically losing their sense of responsibility, sense of hope, sense of all kinds of things. In terms of, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. You can tell I'm just kind of stammering around here, but it is a, I think, a tragedy unfolding, and that generation is starting to realize, hey, these economic policies are not working. This is not working, and we're losing, you know, our wealth, or losing our ability to earn, our earning potential, our ability to have a standard of living that's greater than our parents is going away. And I think that's the thing that's shocking. So I think that the younger generation is now turning on some of those principles, realizing we've got to do something different. And of course, I want to talk about the tariffs a little bit here. This one, who was it? This that was a Bernanke, whoever it was that came out. Some guy came out and gave a speech here last, I think it was, might have been yesterday or the day before, just this last week sometime, might have been Thursday or Friday. He gave this speech and he was talking about the tariffs and how inflation is, the tariffs are affecting inflation, but we haven't distinguished, or they're going to try to distinguish what the tariffs are causing inflation, or what, you know, what inflation is being, they're going to divide up the inflation. What are the tariffs inflating? So in other words, what part of inflation is due to the tariffs? We know that the tariffs are causing some inflation right now. Here's the problem with everything that they were saying. He's saying that some of the inflation right now has been caused by tariffs. First of all, inflation is down. And secondly, the inflation he's talking about couldn't be because of the tariffs, because tariffs haven't even gone into effect. None of the tariffs have gone into effect yet. There are no tariffs in effect yet. This is all based on speculation. The only thing that's causing any prices to go up is all based on speculation, which is why eggs are now down to like $3 a dozen again. Prices of eggs dropped dramatically. Because all of a sudden, after everybody hoarded eggs and everything else, prices dropped. There's plenty of eggs. So it's one of those kind of weird things that happens with the scare that they do. Oh, price of eggs. All of a sudden, they care about the price of eggs. The one thing they could find that was way too high. And it was all Trump's fault because bird flu last year. That's caused, under the Biden administration. And now they're screaming about Doge, and they're all, I see they're busting windows now at Cambridge University, or Columbia University. That's great. They're busting into Columbia for this whole halal guy, saying he's a political prisoner. You're not a political prisoner, by the way. If you're if you're allowed to go anywhere in the world, you just can't stay here. That's not a political prisoner. You're in exile. I think I talked about that on Friday. So we have this, or maybe I have to talk about Thursday. I can't remember when the last show was. It might have been Thursday. So we have this whole thing with the Democrat Party and the civil war that's going on. Chuck Schumer, I think, is they're talking about having him step down as a senator, I guess, or maybe just as the majority leader, or the Democrat leader in the Senate. There's this talk of having AOC move over to the Senate, which they're claiming that she's some kind of brilliant woman, all this stuff. And of course, this other gal who says that Tesla stock is down 75% or whatever she's saying, or what, this guy can't run a business. He can't do anything. He only has money because he's been around. He knew people who had money. Well, actually, he's the richest man in the world. So I don't know who he would be sucking up to get money from, because he already has all the money. I mean, he's got enough money. I don't know. She was claiming how Twitter stock that she was talking about, I guess, that dropped like a rock after he took it over. Well, there's a reason for that. And he knew going in that Twitter was overpriced. He knew it going in. The reason Twitter was overpriced is because they were bilking people for advertising dollars. They had all these bots. They had a staff of like 4,000 people to run a website. I think they now have a staff of like 400 people running X, and it's running just fine. In fact, it's running better than it ever has. I think that they've had they're actually adding services that they didn't have before, and everybody's on there. So it's one of those weird things that it's actually being built back better. To take a campaign slogan, the interesting thing about it is how it was devalued. They devalued it. The stock was devalued because they found out that half of the people, more and more, that were on Twitter were bots. They weren't even real people. But they were able to use that as a leveraging tool. They could say, well, we got this, these people have a million followers or whatever they had, but half of them were bots. And so when people would pay for advertising, they would say, well, there's X number of people. There's these 4 billion people on Twitter. When there wasn't 4 billion people, it was only 2 billion people or whatever it was, because they were bots. All the views, all the clicks, all that stuff was just these little automated bot systems that were out there clicking on stuff. Now, Google Ads had a deal. This goes back quite a ways. And this was, there was actually a lawsuit against Google Ads. This was back in 2005, 2006, became very popular for pay-per-click advertising. In other words, you could put a search word, you could go to Google, the Google Ads thing, there was a pay-per-click service, I think they still have it. You'd put in a keyword, like you'd put in the name of your company or whatever it was, and you would pay to come up with on the search results. And I paid for this. I had a business in 2006 that was rolling out, and I was doing this for advertising, and of course it had to do with electric vehicles and that kind of thing. I bought, so you would bid on all these things, all these search words, and you'd type in the search word, you'd find out what the price for it was, and you were willing to pay 50 cents per click for that word. When anybody typed that word into a search engine, you were willing to pay 10 cents or 20 cents or a dollar or whatever it was. And every time somebody clicked on that word, let's put that, type that word in and clicked on it on the search results, when they clicked on your advertisement or your result as your website coming up for that, you would pay for that. Well, the sad part of that was Google got caught because they had bots that were out there clicking on stuff and driving the prices up. So you might pay for 25 cents for something today for a particular word search. All of a sudden, 2 months later, there's all the other people out there that want that word. And it might be the name of your business, and your name of the business has nothing, nobody else wants the name of that business. Nobody else has taken that name. But all of a sudden, it's 75 cents, and then it's a dollar, and then all of a sudden, the clicks start going up. Next thing you know, you owe $2,000, and you're not getting 2,000 customers. It's just, they kept pushing it like that. I had to cancel several of mine because of the price. You know, I'd own the click. I'd own that particular word search. And all of a sudden, the price would start going up. People started clicking like crazy on my, and they finally found out that that Google was cheating people on that thing. Now, Google also took me for a bunch of money. I think I spent about $2,200. This is back in a time when I was trying to start a little fledgling business. In 2007, they just decided that because they had all these clicks all of a sudden for within 6 months, had all these clicks that were going on. And I wasn't getting that many calls. I wasn't getting that much. You know, supposedly, these people were all clicking on my website, on my advertising. But my website wasn't getting that much traffic. So I don't know. It would have been thousands and tens of thousands of people would have been clicking on my website if that had been the case. And I wasn't seeing that because I can see traffic on my website through, I can't remember what the server was. It wasn't GoDaddy at that time. I can't remember what it was. I had some other service I was using for my website hosting. I think I was actually building my own website at that time. I had a server system because, you know, it was cheaper and I was all about cheaper. I thought it was great that I was getting all these clicks, but at the same time, I wasn't getting traffic. I wasn't making any other additional sales. So it was kind of one of those things where it worked well initially, and then all of a sudden it kind of went away. And so that's what happens with some of these companies. And Twitter was doing the same thing. It's not this lady, what her name is, the other lady, Jasmine Prinkett or whatever her name is. I don't know what her name is. She's supposedly, and by the way, she's worth like $6 million, went to college. She has a law firm, and her law firm made $20,000 last year. Don't quote me on the numbers. I'm not sure exactly. It was like $14,000 one year, and then last year, I think it was $26,000. That's not a law firm. Okay, that's, I have about that many expenses just on the little business I have. And right now my business, my side business is very, very slow. And that's just my expenses. So I don't see how that's not a law firm. Somebody who's a good lawyer could have just a couple clients and make that kind of money. So I don't know. She's not exactly the brightest bulb in the tool shed. So I have some doubts about her, but the people, you know, they're trying to decide who is going to be the definer of the Democrat Party, and I don't think that they have any real outspoken. Now they might get their moorings. They need to do it by fall because they're going to have the 26 elections coming up, and they need to get things organized before that before those elections. And so the campaign season kind of basically starts at the end of this year for next year. So that, because they basically put themselves in about 1 year of campaign mode. So we'll have to see what happens with all that. But I do believe that they're going to have to define who they are. But, it's just a mess right now over there. And I think there's a lot more arguing going on behind the scenes than we even know. I think it's incredibly vicious right now behind the scenes over there. I think there's a lot of infighting and a lot of people trying to struggle and position and everything else especially with the USAID funding being choked off. It's going to take that a while to trickle down, and Congress has to act on that. They can't just recommend that those things be like funding can be paused for a little while, but they're going to have to stop the funding to get everything straightened out. And only Congress can do that. But the whole thing with the Democrats and the way they're fighting against trying to reinstate all this money that's just out there washing around is obviously they're trying to protect their cheese, as it says. It's said. There's a couple of articles my wife has sent me over the past week that I want to highlight. It was pretty good. He hit on a lot of different things. One of them was the whole Doge thing. And the one article was pretty good because he mentioned quite a few things and talked about the administration. And this, I also have a video of a liberal who was talking about the problem with the party right now. And she hit it on the nail on the head kind of thing. And I want to play that video. Probably be doing that not tomorrow. That would be on Tuesday morning. I'm hoping to get that done. So. Got some things in the can that I want to get out there, kind of show. I do want to talk about this Harry Sisson thing. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it's part of a principle, I think, within the Democrat Party, and it's one of those things, and it's also a principle for life. I want to talk about it here a little bit. Harry Sisson is this young little kid who has this boyish face. We used to call it. Baby face. When I was a kid, I think they still call it that. He has kind of a baby face. The kid wears makeup. Okay, he obviously wears he's in public or when he's doing videos, does his stuff. He obviously does his makeup and his all the stuff that he does. He wears like blush or whatever he's wearing. He makes his cheeks look a little rosy red. He obviously wears lipstick. And has like a foundation he puts on that makes his skin look just perfectly smooth and zit free. He obviously does that. I mean, it's if you just step back for a second and look at him, you can tell he's obviously wearing makeup. Now he does this whenever he's doing his kind of big events, whatever he's doing. He's got a couple of videos of himself out there where he's not wearing the makeup or not wearing much makeup, and he looks very, very different. He has kind of this washed out look on his face, and doesn't look good, doesn't look healthy. Now, having said that, when I see that, I just know that a person is phony. They're fake. It's not. There's something weird about the person when they have that kind of a put on. And when the Democrat Party, they kind of gave him all kinds of very, very loose leash, I should say. They had him basically out there just throwing money at him, telling him, getting the youth vote, getting the young vote, getting younger people involved. So he had a few other people in his little entourage, and there was some kid who, can't think of the guy's name, was kind of behind the scenes running all this stuff and managing people on TikTok and doing all kinds of things. Well, come to find out, this guy, and I wouldn't be surprised, and of course now come to find out Harry, his Sisson, the kid, with power and influence, somebody who's that young, they get on the national scene, they get on the national stage, and they have a lot of influence. They can groom people, they can take advantage, let's just say they can take advantage of people, of young ladies, of whoever. And apparently this friend of his who was a part of this TikTok band of people who supposedly this guy was managing, this friend of Harry's. Harry all of a sudden now says this guy was never his friend, but they're all kinds of videos together and have discussions together and all kinds of stuff. And he practically says he doesn't know the guy. Now he literally is getting in trouble because he knew about some of the stuff that this guy, other guy was doing. He's grooming a young autistic boy. And there's a couple other boys that have come out now that have made some claims about how this other guy was trying to groom them and trying to get them, let's say, in compromising positions. And because of that, there's more that have come out. For every one that's come out, there's probably five that haven't. That's just my opinion. I don't know that for sure. But it's not easy for somebody to come out and talk about it. So there's probably a lot of people who are just hiding. Something happened to them. They're not going to talk about it. And there's probably some that have happened to that maybe they participated willingly. I don't know. So there's just that whole thing. And this is all coming out. It's all blowing up. And it's, in my opinion, the Democrat Party just basically put a person into authority, put a person into the limelight and leadership, so to speak, way ahead of what they should have. And this happens, I see this happen. This is actually a biblical principle. Paul talks about not putting someone into positions of leadership and authority too young. Now, he also talked to Timothy about, don't let anybody despise your youth. So there are those individuals, there are those young people who do have character, they do have some ability to stand in those positions if they have the right accountability around them. They have a little, and they can grow. They're more. I've seen kids who are they're mature beyond their years, and have wisdom beyond their years. I've seen that, and I totally agree. Now, but at the same time, they're still young, and they still have to have some accountability. They still have to have some mentorship, and the ability to oversee them, and their ability to submit to elders and that kind of thing. So just keep that in mind. While we need to encourage young people to step into positions of leadership, then to learn leadership, they also have to develop character. And so that process has to have its time, has to have its chance to get those things done. But as we step on through the week here, we start our week off. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with me. And I'll be have a show every day this week, as far as I know. I think I'll be able to put out a show every day this week. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Take care, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.